going to God's way. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. I surrender all. Sing with me. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Let it be from your heart now. I surrender all.
I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. This afternoon, this morning, we surrender all to you. We yield to you and we pray that you will speak to us. We humble ourselves to you. Holy Spirit, have your way in our midst, we pray. Hallelujah. Be exalted, Lord Jesus. We thank you. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Right from this passage, the Holy Spirit is telling us that something in this world is giving power. What is that thing? What is that thing? What is that thing? What is that thing? So, you know, God blessed man. He looked at man and he blessed his creation, man and woman. He blessed them and he gave them a prophecy that they should be, they should increase and multiply and subdue the earth. And because God said that, nothing else in this world can come and control us. But God, in blessing us, has also chosen to empower something else on the surface of this earth, and that thing is the tongue. As small as a tongue is, it has been empowered to do marvelous things. It has been empowered to achieve great things. It has been empowered by God to do awesome things. You see, I've been speaking about, in these few weeks, I've been speaking about things that you must overcome in your journey with the Lord Jesus. You know, this year our theme is taking our place. And if our place as children of God, if we have taken our place as children of God, there are certain things we must learn to overcome. We must have control. We must have power and authority over in order to operate and walk as the Lord Jesus intends us to walk. And last 2 weeks, I tackled the power of the mind, our thought life. This last week, I was going to handle this topic, but the Lord gave us a different message through our dear sister, Natalia, bringing the subject of repentance to us. Yeah. So today, I'm tackling controlling your tongue. Say it to somebody, control your tongue. Have power over your tongue. No, have control over your tongue. Say it, tell somebody, have control over your tongue. And as you are saying it, husbands, or wives, you know, that your husband needs control over his tongue, or your wife needs control over her tongue. Have control over your tongue. From the passage we read, we can see that the tongue has been empowered. empowered by God. It is a system God has put in place. And so the word of God continues to say, and those who love it will eat it fruit. Mansimantoya. They that love it will eat the power of the tongue. Eat fruit. There is a fruit that it will bear. It can bear good fruit or bad fruit. And you must be aware of that. Words are incredibly powerful. They can build up, encourage, and motivate. Words can also tear down. It can tear down. Words can also hurt and cause horrible scare by words. We can do damage or do good. So what we say matter. Words matter to God. Because you see, because God has given power to your tongue, what you say matters to God. When you read Matthew, Jesus speaking in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, he says, but I say to you that for every idle word men or people may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Who? Have you thought of this? Every idle word. You know, sometimes it is easy to say, oh, the people that speak vile words, or the people that swear, the people that, you know, say crazy things or say blasphemy with their mouth, they will be judged. But listen to what Jesus, who came from heaven, the Son of God and the God who came to save you and I, he says, but I say to you that for every idol, he didn't say every swear word. He said, idle word, any word you said out of just saying, you will be judged. You will give an account for that. You and I will give an account for every idle word. Wow. God cares about the words that we speak. He knows he has given power to your tongue. And so he cares about what comes out of your tongue. God literally is watching and listening what you are doing with your words. And today I'm speaking on controlling the tongue. Controlling the tongue. If you are going to be this child of God that is going to fulfill your position, that is going to operate as the Lord Jesus has called you to operate, you must learn to control your tongue. You can do good with it. You can do great things with it. Jesus was fully aware of the devastating nature of our tongue. And so he told us that God is going to judge you of it. So be careful of it, how you use it. So how do we use our words? Sorry, how to use our words. Now you know that the words that come out of your mouth are dangerous. How do you use them? I'm going to point out a few ones to you. The first one is this: refrain from attack words. Refrain from attack words. Words can be used as a weapon to lash into people. So you must refrain from it. Sometimes our goal is to hurt people. You know that what you're going to say, you want to hurt them. Maybe they said something to hurt you, or they did something to hurt you. So you aim to use your words to also hurt them. Refrain from attack words. So look at Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you. Bless those who do what? Who curse you. Do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and what? Persecute you. God has made it clear, no matter what somebody does to hurt you or offend you, do not let an attacking word come out of you. You should bless them. God wants us to be blessing, increase people's life, be fruitful people. The things that we say to be a blessing to people, because he knows the power he has given us. The power he has given us. So that's what he wants us to do. So refrain from that. The second one is this: refrain from gossip. Refrain from gossip. Gossip is destructive, and it can, it is what, subtle. You know, sometimes you don't even realize. And you say it, you go around gossiping, telling people about people, telling people's matter to people's matter. If you're not careful, you even gossip about your own husband or wife. The things you're saying about your wife or your husband, should people hear? The things you're saying about your pastor, is it necessary? The things you say about your sister and brother here, the things we say about our friends, our fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord, can be gossip. Carrying a message to somebody that doesn't need to know, that is gossip. And so look at what the word of God says about gossip. Proverbs 20:19. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. Whoa. It says, do not associate. Gossip. If you have a friend who is a gossip, you are disobeying God. You are disobeying, you're walking in disobedience. And you know, you can try to talk to them about their character. If they won't change, and every time they come, they want to carry news to you. It tells you that you are disobeying God's word. Some people are like that. So be careful. I didn't tell you, the word of God is saying it. And don't say, oh, I want to win her for Jesus. Are you ready for heaven? You must be ready for heaven. In order to win her, sometimes you must take a distance. You see, as COVID has broken out in our society, we saw in the news how they treated, how the doctors and nurses who had no choice but to go and treat the COVID patients, what they had to do in order to go and treat them. I know there are some nurses here, there are some doctors here, fully clothed, fully distinct, and when they go, they make sure there is no skin contact between them, their skin, and the other person's skin. And those people remained in isolation. Where am I going with this? The sick were supposed to be in isolation, and the doctors, the experts who were taking care of them, they stayed in isolation. Glass, they look at them. Okay, I need to go in and administer some medicine. They cover themselves. They do all forms of things in order to go and administer the medication so that they don't also contract this deadly virus. But now, spiritually, it works the same way. If you want to go to heaven, if you don't want to be contaminated by somebody's contamination, you need to know that you must keep this one at a distance. The gossip at a distance. When they begin, hey, what can I do for you today? If they're like, oh, nothing, I just want to call and, okay, oh, you know, I'll call you back later, not long. Pack, you run away because they are going to talk and then they'll bring news you shouldn't hear. It says, reveal secrets. And then look at Proverbs 16:28. A perverse man or person sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. I have seen marriages broken because of bad people, gossips. I have seen father and mother turn against their own children because of gossip. Be careful. Be careful. So refrain from gossip. Don't have anything to do with it. May the word of God speak to you. I pray that you will be able to stand and you will be aware of this. Now use clean words. Some of us are Christians, but when we open our mouth, oh, people want to hide. Some of us, common conversation, people are like, oh man, come on man, it's too much. You are so negative. And when you begin to speak, it's so negative, so judgmental, so aggressive, so... Use clean words. Some words are just not proper to speak. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. Use truthful words. Use truthful words. If the word is not true, don't say it. If it is true, say it with confidence. Matthew 5:37 says, "But let your yes be your yes, be yes, and your no be no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one." Do you see? When you feel like you have to make up things to encourage somebody, sometimes if you receive a word from God, why can't you just say the word that God gave you? "Oh, I have received the word from you, and you know, I would normally not say, but because, hello, why are you wasting my time? Just say what God said. Why are you glossing it up? And you know, just, you know, I don't mean you harm, but God told me, and I feel like I should tell you." Okay. Get to date. Use truthful words. Just say the fact and be free. Anything more than that, the word of God says what? It's from evil. It's from the devil, Satan. You know, I'm not teaching you these things from my head, you know. It's the Bible. Jesus is saying these things. Pay attention to them. You must control your tongue. Be truthful. "Hey, can you do this for me?" I know. You know you won't do it. You know in your heart you're not going to do it. You won't come. Don't tell me, "Oh, and make up." And then the time comes, then the brother is there waiting for you, and you are nowhere to be found. Integrity is key. We must be credible. You know, Jesus is credible. If he is our big brother, and God is God who does not lie, and we are his children, and we are supposed to be his ambassadors on this earth, everywhere we go, we are representing God. And so when we speak, people must be able to believe what we are saying. So we shouldn't go around spreading lies as though it is from God, and it is Satan's message we are carrying. Many has caused problems, challenges, issues in the church because they did not control their tongue. Child of God, control your tongue. Control your tongue. It has power, but by God's grace, you can control it. All things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. You can do it in Jesus' name. You can do it. I'm going to tell you a joke, a funny story I heard. So a woman was expecting some guest in her house. So she went to the butcher to go and buy good steak, like big meat, and come and cook it. So she went, it was almost closing time for the butcher. And she's the butcher's top customer. So she went, she said, "Oh, I need meat, I'm expecting guests. And I know I'm running late, but I just thought of doing some meat." So the butcher went to his freezer, and he saw there was one meat. So he lifted the meat, came and weighed it, and told the lady it was 1 pound. The lady said, "Oh no, 1 pound is too small for me. I need more than 2 pounds. He said, "Oh, okay." And he lifted the meat, and he put it back in the freezer, pretended like he was lifting a heavier one, and brought it back and put it on the scale and told the lady, "Oh, it is 2 pounds. And the lady said, "Oh, okay, if it is 2 pounds, then add the 1 pound to it, then it is 3 pounds. You see? So now he's caught. What does he do? And that's what many of us are doing. We are not telling the truth. We are not speaking the truth. And we lose credibility with people. There are some of you here. I'm going to be honest with you. There are some Christians, when you speak, "I don't waste my time. I know you are lying to me. I know I can't trust you. I know you are not in my inner circle. You don't have my best interest at heart." And that is also how a lot of marriages are being broken up. Your wife cannot trust you. Your husband cannot trust you because you are full of lies, telling stuff that are not true, making up things that are not true. You remember what happened to in the early church? People are giving gifts. A man of God then saw that people are giving, he and his wife also said, oh, let us also go and give some. Out of jealousy, they said they were selling their land and they would bring the money to support the work of God. Then they sold the land, they decided to keep some of the money, and they took the money. He first took the money. Oh, this is my blessing. And Peter asked, is this all the money God gave you for? He said, oh, yes. Then Peter said, you liar. Why have you come to lie to the Holy Spirit? Why have you perceived in your heart to do such a thing against the Holy Spirit? You shall die. And he fell and died. Now his wife also comes. And then his wife repeated the same lie. Peter said, you see, those who went to bury your husband, there they are fetus. You too, you'll be buried as he was buried. And she also died. Sometimes our own, because we are liars, we are misleading our family. Our wives cannot follow us. Ananias and Sapphira died a shameful death. And today, every time their name is mentioned, that is attested to them. They try to lie to the Holy Ghost. And some of us try to do these things in the house of God. You see, oh, we are living in the days of grace. Don't get it twisted. Don't come and lie to me. Me, I may not know, but the Holy Ghost is watching. God himself is watching, and he has his way of dealing with such people. So be mindful of the things that come out of your mouth. Of the things that comes out of your mouth. Be very mindful of them. Speak truthful words and always have peace so that you can be trusted as a son of God or daughter of God or an ambassador of God. You know, don't be singing them, I'm a princess, I'm a well. And then every little opportunity you lie. You see, tax time has come up. What does your accountant know you to be? What does your accountant know you to be? Oh, this one is just on a paper. You make up ghost children. Then when you are giving, you are having more children in your life. You say, oh, God hates me. Aren't you making up children? You make up illnesses and diseases on papers. And then when you get sick with some virus or disease, you think it's God. You called it upon yourself. Speak truthfully and be saved. The truth shall set you free. In the name of Jesus, I declare that you shall learn to release yourself from the bondage of the enemy by speaking the truth. Use edifying words. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good. What is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. He said, he didn't say for edification. For necessary, this edification I'm going to do, is it necessary? Eh? You know, sometimes people are already praising God. Their heart is full of joy and praise to God. Then you watch them, I must go and give them a word. Oh, God says he sees the good thing you are doing. Keep going, is it necessary? The person is enjoying God already. Is it necessary? He said, look at the passage. Please come back with me in the passage. That's why I encourage Bible study here. So that you don't gloss over necessary things in the word of God. He says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. But what is good for necessary edification? Not all edifications are necessary. You know, there are times I don't volunteer counsel because I think it is not necessary now. If the person doesn't want to hear from me, I don't need to go and say something. But I see a lot. I know a lot. Sometimes, the moment I see you come, the Holy Ghost will tell me what's going on. And I ask you, hey, how's life going? You lie to me, it's up to you. You haven't given me permission to speak into your life. What's going on in your life? Oh, everything is well. Sometimes just by looking at your face, I know things are not well. It is good to have holy faith. I am well in Jesus' name. But there are places you don't go and claim holy faith. You remember the woman who's the widow? Yesterday, last week we studied it. Elisha. The widow's husband had a lot of loan that he must pay. And they were coming to take her children. And so she went straight to the man of God. Hey, look, my husband served God with all his heart. And now poverty is coming to me. My children are going to be taken into slavery. You must do something, oh. I'm just paraphrasing. But he told Elisha, something must happen. And the man of God said, what do you have in your house? He said, I have a jar of oil. And said, go and borrow more jars and pour them into it. And you see, because she opened up to the right person, God was able to come through that person and be a blessing. You must understand the times and the seasons, times to claim faith, and times to say, you know what, I have faith, but I need you to stand with me. Use edifying words. So now let us look at, in as much as we are using all these words and we are doing this, we must transform our tongue. Our tongue must be transformed. And it begins first by looking at this passage, Matthew 15, verse 18. Our Lord Jesus speaking. He's our big brother. He's teaching us how to take our place as children of God, walking in the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. And now look at what the Holy Spirit is saying. Actually, no. The Lord is saying, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. Out of your heart, the things that come out of there, that is what defiles a man. And so the first thing you must be mindful of is the state of your heart. How do I transform? Okay, so Pastor Barnes, you have convinced me. I'm not going to use naughty words anymore. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to gossip anymore. And I'm not going to keep gossip companies and all that. How do I do it? It begins with you first being transformed from your heart. If your heart is not fully submissive to Jesus, these things will become a battle. It will become a battle. And so Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. The things you say should tell you the state of your heart. And you know, sometimes we say, oh, I'm just joking. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Every word is delicate to me. You can joke with me, but I know the state of your heart because you said it. You said it. And that's why when you go to court, you are judged by what you say. And that's also why Jesus is saying we are being judged by what we say. So we must be mindful of that. So guard your heart. Set your heart. Make sure your heart is surrendered, fully surrendered to Jesus. You see, today the word of God came. Jesus is saying we should surrender to him. You must do this with all diligence, because if you are able to do it diligently, when you have to speak, it is only good that is in your heart that will come out. Not the rubbish that is in you. And even if there is rubbish in you, by the grace of our Lord Jesus, you will not let it come out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So that you must pay attention to the state of your heart. How is the state of my heart? How is the state of my heart? Why am I struggling with the things that I say? Why is it I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, and I'm never positive? I say negative things. When I open my mouth, I'm saying negative things. I'm doing this. How? State your heart. It begins from your heart, the state of your heart. And God says, keep your heart with all diligence. So you must pay attention to what you are opening yourself to. What am I taking in? The things you hear. We've talked about this. Your touch. The things you are hearing. Some people, when they give you their headphones, the music in their headphones, and you listen to it, you're like, whoa, what world are we in? Guard your heart. Protect it. That's also why it is important to dig deep into God's word, because the word of God is as sharp as two-edged sword that cuts through everything. So when you are the type that listens to God's word, you are the type that reads God's word, you are the type that meditates on God's word, you are the type that studies God's word. You see all these four things. If you are the type that is devoting yourself to doing them, oh, your heart begins to be changed, cleansed, purified, and washed. It's not like magic, that God must do magical work on you. And you can go about doing everything you want to do, and God must do his surgery on you. And then you come into the prayer room. Yeah, Lord, cleanse me. Lord, set my heart free. Meanwhile, you don't read the Bible. How is it going to cleanse your heart? You don't listen to messages from God. You don't listen to sermons. You don't listen to God's word. You are always in the wrong company. You are always listening to the negative things. How are you going to be ever able to bring good out of you? And so when you open your mouth to speak, you find, and if you happen to be around believers, anytime you come around believers, you think they hate you, you think they are judging you, you think they don't like you. Why is it that everything I say, they are telling me, oh no, you don't speak like that? No. It's because you are the problem. There is something in you that must leave. Because when you come into encounter with somebody that is filled with the Holy Ghost, and you say anything negative, they will catch you on the negativity. Oh no, my dear sir, hello, what did you just say? I do it to some, sometimes I'll be joking with somebody, the person will say something casually, and I'll be like, no. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You can't speak like that. I've had people here, oh, pastor, this, we are not going to be able to do it. I'm like, you're a liar. We can do it in Jesus' name. Who told you we can't do it? Are you God? Are you Jesus? Take your negative word and leave here. As a matter of fact, I have changed, you know. In my back in the days, I will tell you, sir, you Satan, get thee behind me. I did it to a certain brother in a certain church I was pastoring. He had a big issue with me. We were in a leadership meeting having a deep discussion on an agenda to win souls, and he began to speak negatively. And I said, brother, you carry a corrupted spirit, and in the name of Jesus, I bind that spirit in you. He had a big issue. I told him, my friend, I'm not going to beg you. Deal with yourself. Deal with yourself. You expect a story from me? No, you can't. And tell that demon that is trying to operate. I got so angry, eh? But now I've become too sanctified. Some of you, if I were in those days, those riff-raff days, some of you wouldn't. The moment you begin, I'm like, my friend, work out, go. If you won't serve God, it's up to you. I didn't understand, you know, that time, it was more the prophetic anointing that was operating. But now the pastoring anointing has kicked in. I have patience. I have kindness. I have gentleness. Even some people are wimping like, are you sure? My children at home, when they are playing, even playing, they will be playing and I will hear them say something. Hey, I am blind. I said, you are not blind in Jesus' name. They said, Daddy, I'm joking. I said, no, no, you are not blind in Jesus' name. I tell you, power in the power of the tongue. Your tongue is powerful, so don't entertain it. And don't let people say stuff on you that they shouldn't say. Review. You go to your workplace, they say it is review time. And then they start telling you all the negativity. You don't relate well with people. You don't do this. You don't. We feel like you are not operating well. You are this, you are this, you are that, you are that. They're telling you all. And you are sitting there before you realize you are crumbling. It's not long. When you walk out of that meeting, you feel like they are going to fire you. You feel like, I need a new job. Do you see what Satan has done? So while they are speaking, before, I'm going to give you the principle here. Before you go for any review concerning your life, you must pray and control the atmosphere in the name of Jesus. Hey, and if you are here, you know you are not performing well at work. Don't be arrogant at work and be rude to people at work. And then you be fasting and praying, trying to transform the atmosphere when you are a bad person. Bad person is not your portion. You are a child of God. Yeah? You should always prioritize being faithful to God by living faithfully with people, loving people, caring for people. Let the fruit of the Spirit begin to operate through you. And if you know you are that kind of person and you are going for a review, you pray, Lord, I take control of the atmosphere. I commit my bosses into your hands. And you pray, and you go into the meeting and listen to what the God has said. The moment you come out, you begin to take authority over certain things in the name of Jesus. That is how you should operate. And then again, when you are going to the doctors, that is another area where Satan can easily give you a parcel God has not intended for you. It could be a demonic plot to give you something. And so when you go and they tell you, this is what we have found, this is it, and this, they say it, and then you come out crumbling. You're like, oh my God, I've got this. That's it. You have affirmed it in your life. The power of the tongue. You see, God gave power to the tongue. It doesn't matter whether you are a Christian or not. There is power in the tongue. But the child of God carries even more power because you operate by the power of the living God. And so everything you say comes to pass. Yeah? And you carry a higher authority. And so when you sit down and an unbeliever is telling you, you have this disease, you have this virus, you have this sickness. Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over this virus. I refuse it to manifest in my life. And you know, sometimes you could dream. Don't accept it. Don't wait for interpreter. Oh, I don't have the gift of interpretation. But you knew a dog was chasing you in your dream. How can a dog chase you in your dream? And then you wake up, you say, I don't have interpreter. You know something bad is on the way coming. So whatever thing that was chasing me in my dream, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over you. Just a few days ago, I was here. I came too early. I was working. Then, my back. I was like, I began to walk like this. Oh my God, there was so much pain. And all the time I was in pain, I released myself in Jesus' name. I released myself in Jesus' name. I released myself. Do you know that thing happened on Saturday? On the Monday, me and Brother Antonio, we were in B&Q. We were in Home Depot lifting a heavy table and all that, putting it in the truck and all that. Where did my healing come from? I came to lie here. Brother Franco was stepping on me and praying for me, praying over me in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Radabo, Shabaradosa. Today I'm walking. I have my strength, but do you know the demonic agenda? I could have ended up like this all the time. And you know, somebody said something to me. Oh, that is what happened to me. I said, minus me in Jesus' name. No way. Today I'm free. Fully free. fully free, fully free, fully free. Hey. Fully free. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers. We were here on Friday night dealing with strongholds in our life. So your tongue must not have a control over you. You must control your tongue. You must, in the name of Jesus. So the next thing you must pay attention is this. Think. James 1, 19 verse 20 says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Guard against engaging the tongue without engaging the mind. God says, be slow. Be quick to hear. What's pastor saying? Why did this brother say that? Be quick to hear, but be slow to respond. And so in your slow, you give yourself an opportunity to think before you speak. This thing that is coming out of me, what is it going to do? So your heart must be clean. Yeah? And then secondly, you must think before you speak. Many of us don't think before we speak. And so there is an acrostic that I want to go through with you quickly. Think is T-H-I-N-K. This is what you must do. Think is what I'm about to say truthful. So T, is it truthful? H, is it helpful? Is what I'm going to say helpful? If it is not helping, if it is not going to help, I better not say it. And then I, is it inspiring? Is what I'm going to say inspiring? If it is not going to inspire, then I better not say it. N, is it necessary? Is what I'm going to say necessary? If it is not necessary, then I better not say it, in Jesus' name. And then the last one, K, is it kind? Is it kind? If it is not kind, then I better not say it. Give yourself a chance for God to use you mightily. And then the last one, tap into God's help. Tap into God's help. Your heart must be fully surrendered to Jesus. Yeah? Secondly, think before you speak. And then thirdly, understand that your strength comes from the Spirit of God. Your ability to control your tongue comes from the Spirit of God. Not your own spirit, not your own strength. The word of God says, it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. The Holy Spirit has been given to help us. He is our helper. That is what Jesus said. He is our helper. The Parakletos means basically somebody, something, it is used in the place of replacing for help. And so pay attention to how Jesus used it in the book of John. All the people had been looking up to him. And so when he began to introduce to them that he's leaving and he was going to replace his absence with the Holy Spirit, he said, the Father is going to send you another who will be your helper, who will be your comforter, who will be your strengthener, who will be basically everything I am to you on this earth. So pay attention to that. And so 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Understand that you are a child of God. Your past life is not you anymore. And if you depend on the grace of our Lord Jesus, he will help you. Yeah? He will help you. Jesus can give us the desires and the motives of our heart. If you really desire to have control over your tongue, it is possible. Yeah? The weaknesses you are facing, the battles you are going through, never, I've told you already, that never accept the thought that it is not possible for you to overcome them. Now, secondly, you must begin to say the right things. Use the power of your tongue that God has given you. Use the power of your tongue that God has given you. So Ephesians 4 verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can't do it in your own might. You can do it through Christ who does what? You can do it through Christ who does what? You can do it through Christ who does what? You can do it through Christ who does what? Hallelujah. Give the Lord Jesus a clap offering in the house. Lord Jesus, we go to you. Lord Jesus, we surrender to you. We give you our totalities. We give you our fullness. You are God. Help us. Let's take some time to pray. Yeah?